And if you're with us this morning, please turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. We want to welcome the visitors this morning. We welcome you on behalf of Grace Bible Baptist Church. We're glad you can be with us today, and we hope that you get a blessing from the Word of God. And no doubt, if you came expecting a blessing, you will get a blessing because God's Word is good. Once you've found your place in Colossians chapter 1, please be upstanding in reverence and respect to the Word of God. And we'll read a few verses from chapter 1, 2 and 3. Before reading these verses, I'll have Pastor Eric, if you could pray for us this morning regarding our attention to the Word of God. Amen. Thank you. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Notice what the Bible says. And he is, speaking about Jesus in context, the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And go to chapter 2 verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And then chapter 3, beginning from verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime, when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek or Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. You may be seated. A few weeks now we have been learning how Jesus Christ in all things has the preeminence. He is preeminent in creation. All things were created by him and for him. He's preeminent in salvation. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. He is preeminent in the church. He is the head of the body, the church, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Preeminence means to be first, above all, to be the head, to be the top, if you would. And as we looked at these things, we must be encouraged to make Jesus preeminent of our lives. And we spoke about how we can do that practically. We spoke about how we need to be rooted in Christ, grounded in the Word, established in the faith, seeking heavenly things, not focusing on earthly things. We spoke about how in all things we need to give God the glory, to be thankful that Jesus wants to rule our hearts, What a wonderful thing that is, that God invites us in order us to be under his rule. And what a wonderful thing that is. We spoke about how we don't want to be governed by religion, man, creed, but by the word of God, by the very word of God, Jesus Christ. And then we spoke about the second part of the message, that we need to mortify a few things. One of those things was fornication and then uncleanness. Lustful desires, inordinate affection, and covetousness, which is the day, our day, the 21st century idol idolatry. The seeker, that Christian that seeks for self, that lives life all about self, not all about Jesus. And we spoke about how we need to deaden these things, put them away, put them to death. As Christians, we don't walk for self anymore, we walk for God. We walk lives pleasing to God. We walk lives pleasing to Jesus. And we spoke about some of these things need to be mortified, put to death if we are going to continue to honor Christ and live a life that's going to be all about him. And then Paul continues to say to cast off some things. In Colossians chapter 3 verse 8, he says, "But now ye also put off all these." Notice he mentions a few. We're going to look at some this morning and again a few tonight. He says, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouths. To put off is to cast off, to put away. It's like as if I was going to take this shirt off and cast it away from me. I'm not going to wear it. I'm going to put it away. To put off is to cast off or cast away, to put away. And anger is a violent passion. It's an emotion that it causes perhaps losing your temper. It may change perhaps your face. Your demeanor. Wrath is to blow your top off, to reach a boiling point. A person that's breathing hard, some would say he's losing it. And malice is the desire to injure. Ill will, perhaps to have some revenge. In the way of introduction, let me just say this, that there is two types of anger. One is an unrighteous anger, which we'll focus more about today. And there is an righteous anger. David said in Psalm 7, verse 11, "God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day." We can say this, that God is displeased. God is upset. God is mad, upset with those that do wicked, those that desire to injure, those that turn away from God's ways. God is displeased with them. He's angry at them. It was like, I would say this to you. I wouldn't be happy preacher or pastor if some creeped in the church and wants to cause division within the church. No way in the world I'll be a happy person. I'll be upset. I'll be displeased. I'll be angry. I guarantee you, you fathers will understand where I'm coming from. If some creeped in and tried to lure your daughter, he'd pretend to be a Christian and pretend to be saved or whatever, and he's trying to move in on her and ruin her purity and all that and try to deceive her, guarantee you won't be happy. You'll be upset. There's nothing wrong with being upset and being mad at those things. But also, I'd be upset with my little boy when he does some things that are wrong, especially when he tries to hit on charity and he tries to do some things to her. I'll be upset with him. I'll be mad at him, if you would. Notice, if you would, Psalm 80, verse 4. "O Lord God of hosts," Asaph Psalm, "how long will thou be what? Angry against the prayer of thy people." God is upset, displeased. He's not happy when you are praying amiss. Not happy at all. When your ways are not inclined with God's ways and your prayers are just simply fleshly, prayers that always consume about self, blessings always regarding about self and never regarding about the cause of Christ. It's never about God. It's always about God's displeased about that. When your prayers are focused on self and not for his glory, not entwined in his will, God is upset. But the Bible says, "Be angry and sin not." In Ephesians chapter 4, 26, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." However, we must not misjudge these two types. Amen? So easily be angry and upset and say, "Oh, but that was righteous anger. I had a right to be." Well, righteous anger, the difference between the two, cares. How you can judge it, you can say, righteous anger cares. Unrighteous anger causes trouble. Righteous anger helps. unrighteous anger hurts. Unrighteous anger is excessive. It's always jumping about everything, even the little things. It's making small issues big things. It's just picking on everything, frustrated with every little thing, silly things, jumping and getting hot-headed about something that doesn't really matter or something that's not, you know, a big deal, if you would. Just always edgy, excessive. Littlest thing can actually tick a person off. It's excessive. Unrighteous anger is personal. It's angry at the person rather than the misconduct of that person. Righteous anger desires it to be about Jesus. Unrighteous anger desires it to be about me. All about me. Righteous anger wants to make things right. Unrighteous anger is selfish. It doesn't want to make things right. It doesn't want to admit the wrong. It wants to cast blame on something else. The Bible says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Notice this phrase in verse 27. "Neither give place to the devil." If you desire to give place to the devil this morning, continue to be angry. Continue to put on that clothes, if you would, of anger, wrath, malice. If you want to give the devil a field day, just be angry. He'll know how to use your life to mess up not only your life, life of your family, but everything and everyone around you. He'll have a field day with that kind of attitude. I'm talking about the kind of attitude where just a little thing kind of gets you, you know, angry. Things that just don't matter. You're always upset, always angry. Angry for no reason, if you would. Well, let me give you some things, what the Bible teaches on unrighteous anger. The result of being angry, Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. Notice what the Bible says. "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." A person that is out of control and has no self-control and continues to be angry is a person like a city that is broken down and without walls. There's no safety. There's indication to danger. The enemy is made you an easy target. You're vulnerable to the darts of Satan. There's no peace. There's no joy. A city without walls will soon be a city that is desolate, ruined, and will fall into destruction. Notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 14:17. "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly." And when you and I are angry, we're inclined to make bad decisions, foolish decisions, hasty decisions that are hurtful, decisions that would cause us to sit down and be in a regretful state. These decisions will ruin our relationships, marriages, will cause bitterness in the life of our children. An angry fool can cause destruction, hurt himself and others. A lady once came up to Billy Sunday and attempted to rationalize her anger outburst. And she said to Billy, she said, "There's nothing wrong with losing my temper. I blow up, but I then get over it." Billy Sunday looked at her and he said, "So does a shotgun. It blows up, but it does damage. You know, one outburst and one little blow in your top can break a child's spirit." Yeah, it can break a child's spirit. And we're trained. We understand that we're trained that we rear up our children, that we don't want to break their spirit. We want to break their will. We don't want to hurt them. We don't want to, condescend them, look down at them and have the veins popping out of our head and making them feel that they're worthless, making them feel that they're insufficient, making them feel that they're nothing. That's not loving our children. "Oh yeah, I get upset, but then I say sorry." Well, that's good. But we want to minimize blowing the top off for no reason. The Bible says we need to put away these kind of things. We don't live like that anymore. We don't get crazy like we used to. Amen? We need to put it away. We need to learn what the Bible's teaching us is. It's not about us. It's about Him. We need to be casting off anger, wrath, malice. Notice what the Bible continues to say in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be what? Angry. For anger resteth in the bosoms of who? Fools. In Proverbs 14, 17, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. You lose respect, your actions and dealings will be despised. An angry person is hard to be around. Grouchy, moody. It's almost like you have to walk on eggshells around them. Be careful you don't say something. Rah! They'll get at you. Be careful you don't ask for something. Be careful you don't bring up something in that person's life. I mean, they're going to really... That's what an angry person is. Walking on eggshells around them. You're afraid of what they might say. As a matter of fact, the Bible mentions to try to avoid angry people. Proverbs 22:24 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Why? Notice verse 25. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Wow. And we're not talking about only, being taught bad habits, you know, destructive conduct or character. We're talking about here destructive and a snare to our souls. This is a long life, you know, grip that other people can learn. Our children can learn from us. We can kind of rear them up in such a way where it becomes, in their eyes, natural to be angry at mum. Well, a young mother and her little boy were driving down the street one day, and the little boy asked his mom, he said, Mummy, why is it that when daddy drives, there's idiots on the road? You know, she drives calm and collected. The idiots are on the road when daddy drives. Everyone's in his way. They learn. They watch. They mimic. Our son is just amazing how he's just mimicking everything. By the way, everything that he's mimicking is not from me, okay? Just be careful. But there are some things that are. The other day he was given a gift, a little toy. And you press the button and says, yeah, rock and roll! And he's running around the house saying, rock and roll! I say, Elisha, don't say that. And because I said to him, don't say that, he wanted to say it more and more. I grabbed that little toy and I busted that button. But he just wants to follow. He wants to do. He wants to mimic. He wants to become like people. I mean, he goes and stands on the table and he lifts up that hymn book and he wants to sing like you all. But most of the time when you're living with your family and your children, you're living at home with them. And they learn habits. And we can't give them the idea that we're one way in church and one way at home. We're saints in church and then we're monsters in the home. You know what I'm saying? We're kind to the children in the church. We're kind to the mothers in the church, but our wives, we're not kind to them. The Bible says to put on kindness, not to be angry or bitter with our children. Get this anger away, cast it off. By the way, be clothed with what God would give us to be clothed with, humility. Humility. Husbands and fathers, let me just say this to you. Are you able to, you're able to pass on bad habits of anger to your children? The way you treat their mother, one day they might treat their wives. Just be careful. They'll think it's just natural to be nasty to your wife. And by the way, it's not okay. It's not. And if he's out of control and he's not doing things right, let me encourage you, young people, look at Christ. Pray for him. The best thing that you can do, that when you do get angry for no reason, apologize. So that wasn't Christian-like. That wasn't like I should be acting. I wasn't like Christ then. I'm so sorry for getting angry for nothing. I had to say it a few times to Elisha. That I over-exaggerated because I just, all day he's been, you know, running around causing mischief, and then he did something that wasn't so bad. but it just kind of built up, and I was angry at him, and it was fleshly anger, wasn't righteous anger. It became fleshly, and then I had to say, I'm sorry. And I looked at him in the face, hold him in his face. I'm sorry. Do you forgive Daddy? You can't lose that. The moment you lose that, you're finished. So many times, but by the way, you sleep with that, you have a terrible sleep. You have a terrible sleep. You don't want to pass on bad habits to your children, wives and mothers. Let me say, you're able to pass on your angry, unsubmissive attitude to your daughters. You're back chatting, condescending his leadership, throwing things at him. Hope you don't do that. But you're able to pass that on. They're there watching in the corner. They're there looking and seeing how you treat Daddy. By the way, the Bible says in Proverbs 21:19, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Think about that for a moment. I saw a documentary about a man that wanted to go to the wilderness, to the desert of Australia, and he wanted to go and walk through the desert, and he did for about 42 days. It was a documentary on miracles, how miracles had taken place. This man wanted to get away, and he wanted to go and walk through the desert, and he had been stranded in the desert, didn't realize how tough the desert was. But right at the end of it, when they rescued him, it's just like he didn't want to be rescued. Everyone was so happy that he was rescued, and he was like, yeah, it's like he wanted to die in the desert. Didn't know why he really wanted to go there. He was getting away. I can only think of this verse. Didn't make sense to me any other way. Seriously, you can understand that if a woman continues to be contentious and anger and bitter and doesn't stop, Bible says in Proverbs 21:9, it is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Forget about the couch. No, in the corner of a roof where there's cobwebs and where there's darkness and quiet there. Just leave me alone. Because she's always angry, nitpicking, what's wrong, this and that and this, and you haven't done this and put that down, and just like angry, contentious. And if there's nothing to be worried about, nothing to complain about, she'll find something. I want to encourage you, cast it away. Put it off. And put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll get into the practicality in that in a moment, how we can be helped in that area. It's hard to be around someone that is grouchy. Always makes it all about them. And if you're going to be living a life that is pleasing to God, that it needs to be all about Him. And when it's all about Him, it's easy to put away this thing. It's easy to say, well, that's not wrong. That's wrong thinking. That's wrong acting. That's, you know, it's easy. You don't want to continue in it. You don't want to continue abiding in that kind of way. Let your life be all about Jesus, and you'll put away this angry attitude. Notice Proverbs chapter 25, verse 23. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry, contentious, and a backbiting tongue. Drive it away. Put a stop to it. Don't let it be surrounding your life. And by the way, one of the things that it could help, you could help, or you can be helped, if I would say, is that a soft answer, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, turn away wrath, but grievous words stirreth up strife. If you answer an angry person in their folly, you'll only add wood to the fire and might find yourself falling into your anger yourself. Soft answer turneth away wrath. And listen, this must be done in a good spirit too. Because this, if it's not done in a good spirit, this can be a provoking way to make him more angry. It's cunning. The Bible says a soft answer is being genuine, concerning, loving, not adding wood to the fire. Sometimes people, they think a soft answer is no answer. No, that just makes that person, just work it out. Just work it out and give a soft answer. Don't add wood to the fire. Proverbs 29:22 says, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Let me say, when you're angry, you're in sin. And sin is poison to your Christian character. Absolutely. When a rattlesnake is concerned, sometimes it's anger and it bites itself. And when a person harbors bitterness or anger or wrath in their heart, it's like that rattlesnake. It's going to bite itself. It's going to do damage. Well, I want to give you some ways that would help you put away anger, wrath, malice. And one of the ways the Bible mentions here is to put on the new man. Notice in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, the elect of God, holy, notice these characteristics, and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. In other words, even if you have a complete right to be angry, and you might not righteous anger, and you just lose it, and you go into being fleshly in your ways. The Bible says, I want you to be abounding with mercy. Bowels of mercy. Even if it's, you have a right to be, so to speak. Revenge never did anyone any good. No way in the world. Payback never helped any situation. There was a woman that was bitten by a dog, and the doctor said that you have rabies, you don't have long to live. You might as well write out your will now. She began to write and write and write a list of names, and the doctor said, how many people are you adding to your will? And she said, they're not the people that I'm adding to my will, they're the people that I'm going to bite. She's got rabies. She wants revenge. And there are many people that perhaps you would want to get back at, payback, but God says, cast this away and put on bowels of mercies. Be forgiving. Be loving. Even as Christ, for God's sake, forgave you. Be tender-hearted. Bowels of mercies. Another, kind, humble. This is what we're going to look at. Humble and meek, long-suffering, patient. It's pride that causes a person to be angry. Proverbs 16:18, turn there, 16:18. Proverbs 16:18. Notice what the Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. Let's say that together. Ready? Begin. Pride goeth before destruction, and God resists the proud, but he gives what? Grace to the humble. Grace to live a grace-filled life. All about Jesus. But it's pride. It's that lift up, if you would. We need to go low. And going low is admitting when we've done wrong. Admitting that, we have a problem to be fixed, and God has the remedy to fix it. I mean, this brings us back to the verse in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. I mean, the Bible says, put on, in Colossians 3:12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. So it takes us back to Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. If you have received Christ in all who he is, preeminent over creation, preeminent over salvation, and preeminent over the church, then you need to walk as he is the Lord of your life. It's not enough just saying, he's preeminent, he's the God of the universe, he's preeminent, he's saved me no other way but through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's preeminent in the church. But at the same time, he's not the preeminent of your life. Still got these characteristics of anger, malice, and wrath. And God's concerned about our character more than what we make a stand for. Remember when we read right down the bottom there, put on charity, the bond of perfection. And we understand that when we're in Christ, and we walk with God, our first love, he's going to help us to have these characteristics. Walk ye in him. And the church of Ephesus had one problem, that they forsook their first love, their first work. But they were standing for truth, but they didn't have the Christian character in the way they were perhaps doing it, because they forgot their first love. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Look, a good indication that you and I are not spirit-led and we're not walking right with the Lord is when we're angry. When you get angry or when you get bitter or frustrated to a point, that's a good indication that you are not walking in the Spirit of God. You can understand right there and there, I'm not in the Spirit of God. I'm getting frustrated at this or that, snapping here and there, doing this. I understand that somewhere along the line, I haven't confessed something. I haven't done something that God would have me to do. There's something wrong and I need to fix it. My walk with Christ is not right because I'm in the spirit of anger. That's a good indication that you're not walking in Christ. It's a good indication that you're not walking in the Spirit of God. Notice Galatians chapter 5. If you would, turn there. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. And then we'll have a look at verse 16. And then we'll bump it down to verse 19. Notice what the Bible says. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Notice verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations. Look at what's the next two words? Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's the same thing that he mentions in Colossians. People that would continue to do these things are not saved people. People that have a desire to live like this, people that have a desire to continue in their fleshly ways and have no desire to change, no desire to put it off and make it about Jesus, are people that will never see the face of heaven. They're going to be judged. And so he says, ye one day walked like this, but not anymore. Because you are the children of light, in Ephesians he says. So you walk ye in the light. We're not the old man anymore. If we've believed him to be our Savior, we believe him to be our Lord, then we're in him a new creature. Then we must walk a new way. And by walking that new way, we need to get rid of old habits. And we need to say, God, I need you to help me to get rid of these things. You say, how would God help me? Be humble. I do something wrong, be quick to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Keep short accounts with God. Keep walking with God. Don't let anything get in the way between you and him. We're going to look, perhaps, if we do, God allows us to, in the beginning of February, four different things that will never take the place of walking with God. Four different things. And they're good things that God commands us. But they will never take the place of walking with God. And a good indication that you're walking with God is that you're not fleshly in this attitude of thinking, that you're loving God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and you're loving your neighbor, and you're not getting angry, wrath, bitter, but you're loving them. Those that walk like this, live like this, the Bible says they will not see the kingdom of God. No, there's no place in heaven for these people. God wants people that are changing, that are putting off, casting away, going before God, saying, God, please forgive me. I'm a Christian. I shouldn't be walking like this. Please, God, help me. Natural man doesn't do that. He's just governed by the flesh, ruled by the flesh. He has no spirit of God. He has no control. So, another nature that would control him otherwise, But brethren, you do. You that say that you're a Christian, you have the Spirit in you. You have the light. You have been enlightened. So therefore, we need not to walk like this anymore. This is not our place. This is not the way we should live. Sweetheart, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't be walking. I shouldn't have said that. Coming before God. God, I've displeased you. I've displeased my family. I've displeased the one that I've hurt. I'm so sorry. Humble, meekness of mind. Not being ready to always come and defend or have excuses why. But meek. Put on the new man. Notice the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. There it is there. Meekness and temperance. Against such thing there is no law. In other words, the Ten Commandments, God says, I want you to do this. I want you to obey this. I mean, in the flesh we can't. We need to be led of Him. We need to be God-filled Christians. We say we got self-control. I know what you mean by that, temperance. But we need to be God-controlled. Because there's no way you and I can ever get it under control if we're not in Christ, walking in Him, walking in the Spirit of God. Moment that you're out of God's will, or out of step with God, you're not walking with the Spirit of God, the moment you'll be frustrated in your dealings. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Let me go back. Meekness, temperance, against such things no law. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us what? Walk in the Spirit. If God is in you, if you're born again, if you're a new creature, then walk in Christ. That means we walk the new man. Not the old man. We have a new life in Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. It's all connected. Because sooner or later, your anger will cause you to blaspheme and say terrible things and evil communication. Things that you would actually regret. But in conclusion, notice the dispensation of a renewed walk. Notice Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, if you would. Proverbs 16, verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. The way that you will have Christian maturity is when you are God-controlled. That God is in you and you're walking in Him. And you are not soon angry. You don't blow up. That's a sign of Christian maturity. It's not what you believe. It's not what you stand for. You stand for the Bible. That's great. But living the Bible is another thing. Living it and having Christ in us and working a Christ-like spirit is what God will have us to have. In James chapter 3, verse 2, for many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same, note that word, is a perfect man, mature, complete, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. And we need God to continue to have control over our lives. Say, God, I want you to be that bit controlling my mouth. I want you to lead my thoughts, my heart, my direction. Please, Lord, help me think before I speak. Help me think before I act. Help me subdue and crucify the flesh. God will prompt you. You're walking in the Spirit, God will prompt you, saying, you better be careful now. You're stepping over. And you can say, the flesh, they're warring against the Spirit. And you can say, yeah, soft answer. Turneth away wrath. You can have a soft, genuine answer because you don't want to fall into sin, nor do you want to provoke the other person. By the way, let me just say that struggle won't happen if somewhere along the line you have disobeyed God and that sin is not confessed and forsaken. It's called backsliding. And you continue to live your Christian life and you're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit nor what you're doing. I guarantee you that struggle won't happen. You'll be angry, you'll be frustrated, you'll be bitter, until you go back and you rectify that very thing that God has pointed out in your life. To the church of Ephesus, it was their relationship and their time with the Lord. Their first love. And I have to sometimes look and say during the week, Lord, why do I have a string of incidents in my life? Why am I acting like this? Because I haven't spent time with the Lord. And that day can turn out to be a week. And that week, a month. Now, I have to go back and say, the reason, Lord, why I am acting this way is because my relationship with you is not right. I'm not walking in the Spirit. An unruly spirit will also lead to blasphemy, evil speaking, lying. We'll look at that tonight. But put off anger, wrath, and malice, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you live lives saying, it's not about me. It's about Him. I want to just, in closing, give you a 3-point outline regarding a message the Lord has worked in my heart about, but I'm not really going to preach it today. But I want to give you the outline. Go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I believe it's relevant in closing to this message. Matthew 11. Notice verse 28. Through to verse 30, notice what the Bible says, Jesus speaking here. We understand that He's calling for those that are brokenhearted, those that are sinking deep in sin, those that are weighed down by their sin. And He calls them to give them rest, and thank God for that. But I still believe that the principle still stands for the Christians that are Christians, that we still need to come to Christ the very same way. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God is saying, lean on Jesus. Notice there, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Lean on Jesus, learn of Jesus. And then notice verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Love like Jesus. Lean, learn, and love like Him. May God help us. I guarantee you, if you are saved, then by the Spirit of God, He gives you a desire to walk in Him. In other words, you don't have a desire to be this old person anymore. Paul the Apostle said, the things that I want to do, that I should do, I don't do. And the things that I do, I don't want to do. There's this battle that's going on. There's a battle that takes place in our lives. But thank God that our Savior is going to redeem us from this body one day. And our salvation will be complete. But I guarantee you, you're a Christian today. From the depth of your heart, you'll say, Lord, yes! I want it to be about you. I don't want it to be about me. And Lord, if I'm struggling with this, please help me with this attitude of not being willing to surrender my life and my will to you. Please take away the deceitfulness of my eyes. God, I know you want to work on my character. Because it's only through my character and my works through the Spirit of God that will bring you glory. May we live lives, not just words. but lives that would truly say and communicate to our family, communicate to our friends, and communicate to our work colleagues that their lives are not about them, but about Him. May God help us to live lives all about Jesus.